The following podcast is intended for an adult audience only.
It contains strong language, strong opinions, and themes of a sexual nature.
So if you are under 18, or indeed difficult to please, this isn't the podcast for you.
This is the best thing ever. Sorry.
Where the fuck did you find this?
Were you looking for it or did it find you?
Right. So, it's from an album called Tortura, The Sounds of Pleasure and Pain. And apparently it was an LP that got released in the 60s. But I found it a wee while ago.
Your dad's record collection.
You bastard. On a blog called Music for Maniacs.
Yeah.
And it was one of It was just one of those like odd records that someone had found. When you're on like a night bus home from London, right, after a night on the piss, and like everyone else is like kicking off. You know, people kicking off.
You drown it out.
And then you just drown it out with this.
What, with headphones on and a massive erection. Anyway, this is Varying Degrees, a BDSM podcast. Sitting opposite me is my good friend Burns. Say hello, Burns.
Hello, everyone who's listening. You wonderful, beautiful people here. I am Space Side Burns, but for the purposes of the podcast, we're going to go with Burns because it's a lot quicker.
And who is this lady to my left?
So my name is Electra Hart. Again, for the purposes of the podcast, I will be going by Electra. It's somehow progressed to Lady Electra at some point.
It just makes you sound like a porn star.
It does. It really does.
So it's
does.
Even more funny.
It does.
It's, yeah, it's perfect.
This is a BDSM podcast. Well, why? Because I've convinced you to do it?
Right, something like that. It was also to kind of document our own journeys and kind of share with our people, you know. Get the occasional guest on and get their opinion, you know.
For me, I've been listening to loads of podcasts, BDSM kink podcasts, and I didn't think there was that many relevant UK ones that had sort of much appeal to me. There's some good stuff out there that appeals to certain people.
Was it mainly US-based then?
Yeah, the stuff that I was finding.
Right.
And you're here because I texted you about 45 minutes ago, aren't you, lady?
I suppose it is.
It is. This is only the fourth time we've met, so...
It's amazing, isn't it? BDSM. Bringing people together.
So, the three of us are going to gather once a month is the idea. This is Series 1, Episode 1.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, I know, it's a bit presumptuous,
can't,
but I thought...
Can't knock the ambition.
Okay.
This one is going to be called...
Entries.
Episode 1.
No, entries.
Okay.
Entries. I like entries.
Yeah, you do.
That's
you
good.
Bastard.
That's
don't,
good.
You don't like
no,
a good entry?
It's great.
Yeah, so entries. So I think what we're going to be chatting about is introducing ourselves and talking about our entries into the scene and sort of how we got here today and what we're doing, how we sat around this table. Burns, I mean, how long have you known me and, you know, when did we meet?
Two and a half years ago.
And just sort of hanging out and getting chatting over a drink or two.
I don't think when we met, it's not like we met and it was like... straight into kink, we were having a chat first, do you know what I mean?
You gave each other a quick wave and then you started whipping each other.
I think I dated a couple of people in the past who were kind of, if not outright kinky, then certainly kink friendly and kink leaning. And then like later on in life, you meet the people who are so kink leaning that they're pretty much falling over. But
so how long have you been active then, mate?
Well, I kind of came onto the scene and going to my first social munch about 2.5 years ago. And
so it was about the same time as me.
Aye, something like that. So I was probably a wee while before I started getting involved with anything. It wasn't like just straight in, you know. Made friends with a few people first.
We've got like a lot of things we get up to within the community that aren't sort of play related anyway.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Aye.
It's not all
a
about...
A lot. So, you know, it's not entirely... Not entirely kink based.
I mean, me and Burns go back like 2.5 years, and we go back.
A month?
A month?
Maybe.
A month, maybe?
Yeah, more or less.
We met at a party, didn't we?
Yeah. We met at a very fun birthday party. So my introduction to the scene was, I think I've said this before, it was almost the polar opposite of Burns. I sort of unintentionally, really, because, well, no. So I have such a distinct memory of looking, you know, looking at communities online and...
What sort of platforms?
Just anything on the internet. I had such little knowledge, I literally was Googling, like, BDSM Tinder.
Okay.
But I have such a memory of, like, seeing the word munch around and having no idea what it meant. No idea. And so I was afraid to ask because it felt like everybody knew what it meant. So I ended up going to a peer rope event before.
Because you could decipher what it was.
Yeah, exactly. With that in the description, it said something about, you know, tying up and people being there for that purpose. So, that was fairly self-explanatory.
Yeah.
You know? Everything else was a bit like munching what? What are we meaning to munch?
What was your first impression when you heard the word munch? Or when you heard about social events? What was the first sort of social event you heard about?
When I first came onto the scene, I was looking for a munch. Because I'd heard of them and I'd like heard through friends who were on the scene about them. Mostly friends that I'd met through other things we were saying about the social aspect earlier. So it might be like someone I'd met at a comedy show and just got talking to generally and then found it later that was part of, you know, not that it's that I make it my business, you know what I mean? It's like someone chooses to tell you.
But, first question.
Okay. No.
I find it very welcoming.
Yeah, I mean, that's where we met, isn't it? We met at a munch. From meeting at a munch to regular games of backgammon.
Mm.
And it's even gotten to the point where I beat you sometimes now, which is quite nice.
Aye.
So, you know, it's two things you never thought that being involved in kink would lead to, would be backgammon and cake.
Aye.
There's a lot of backgammon.
So much cake.
Yeah. And I suppose I should probably introduce myself, shouldn't I, really?
Just before you do, shout out to Gently Twisted, who makes exceptional banana bread.
Oh, he does.
I nearly said banana cake there, but it's banana bread.
No,
it's banana bread.
It's very good. It's so moist.
Anyway, my name is CH, or Cool Hands. It was my half-brained idea to pull my two friends together here. One new friend, one slightly older, more weathered friend.
Is that from your company?
Oh, my company.
A direct result.
My company does have a weathering, erosive effect on people all the time. You've only known me about a month or so, but
in that time, I have noticed, you know, my skin.
I stumbled onto the scene about 2.5 years ago, about the same time as you, Burns, and we must have met, or at least, you know, as acquaintances quite early on then, to be fair, if we were around from the same time. I hadn't really realised that until thinking about it just now, to be honest.
I think, you know, we'd probably met before we'd met, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I assumed you'd be around longer. When you're new, you assume that everyone you see is
around longer. That's the thing.
You know, if you're new somewhere, you assume that everybody you can see has been around longer than you.
Well, I think as well, like, especially...
When they may have got there last week.
The same night.
Mm-hmm.
Meeting lovely people like yourself recently.
Oh. Stop.
Lady Electra, I will never stop.
Great.
And you've got that to look forward to.
You
know, we're talking a little bit about how we found the scene, but you know, how do you think people generally find the scene? What accesses are there?
I thought you were going to directly ask the audience.
No, fucking this is pre-recorded.
Now, we've talked a lot about how we found the scene, but how did you find the scene?
But I don't...
And then you wait. And you wait. Like Dora the Explorer.
Aftercare for the listeners isn't a bad idea. What do you think of the first podcast? Maybe they'll need some aftercare. Who knows?
What? A pre-recorded sample of our soothing tones, which are exactly the kind of thing
that
you would want.
I think you two should take that one.
Really?
If you have been affected, particularly if you have been aroused by any of the matters in the preceding programme, please contact the host's
lawyer.
Fucking hell no. Jesus Christ, let's not go down this road this early in episode one. What have you got to say about people entering the scene, mate?
Good.
Is it all good?
Well, no, it's not all good, because you get different kinds of people.
Because we've got an influx, mate. We're having an influx.
Of people?
Of people, well, I'm sort of really hamming it up and playing it up. But,
a little.
But there are more people getting into BDSM and finding it through
there's a lot
mainstream influences than there once were.
Yes.
What with 50 Shades, right? And I know a lot of people slag it, but I think it's got people interested in BDSM.
Rightly or wrongly?
No, I think it's good for the most part. There was someone that actually wrote an article on FetLife that was saying, don't stop people coming onto the scene because of the likes of 50 Shades of Grey. You know, that kind of, that attitude of...
Sort of elitism.
Aye. And saying, like, surely you'd want to welcome someone on the scene. So, like, if someone comes onto the scene and they do something that's a bit, like, rather than just go, you're wrong, oh, you got it from 50 Shades of Grey, you're not kink enough to be here. Just be like, oh, right, I noticed there's this... Maybe you could try something and it'll be a bit safer, or you'll risk hurting your hand or things like that.
Because
help people and develop them, not just put them down.
Yeah, for sure, because that is the kind of the difficulty with that movie or the books, you know, whatever. I think actually a lot of the time the kink community is less scary.
Unrealistic expectations. People watch that and they think that's what it's about and they're like, what the fuck?
But also like bad ones, because it is a fantasy idea to have a, you know, a relationship with no sort of boundaries at all. I've seen it once, it's totally an escapism thing
for some people who have that fantasy,
sure, and
for
like,
people that live it as well, it can be escapism.
Oh yeah, for sure,
it is for me,
but in a 24/7 relationship like that, for people not familiar, that would be a relationship where, a constant relationship basically, where you are living your kink dynamic constantly, 24/7. You know, even in a relationship like that, you have all these, all these terms that are discussed beforehand.
Yeah.
And I think in the movie, I believe
it's
one of
abusive.
The first things that happens is, he makes her sign a written contract.
It's just ridiculous.
But
he's also flying around in a helicopter.
Think about it from the point of view of someone who has no experience of it.
Yeah.
You know, people who have experience of life go, okay, not everyone flies in a helicopter.
No, mine isn't.
If people have...
I'm a dom. Where's my helicopter?
Well, I couldn't fit mine in your driveway.
You're not a dom. You don't get a helicopter. I get a helicopter.
Hey, I'm...
I'm a dom. Dom's right. It's a helicopter. 50 Shades. I've seen it.
All doms have helicopters.
I've seen it.
You have the knowledge of life to understand that, obviously, not every person has a helicopter. If you have no prior knowledge of the BDSM scene, if you've got nothing to compare it to... You know, you're not necessarily going to go, oh, well, that isn't right. You know,
like,
some people may genuinely think that this is an idea that once... This is something we will probably touch on a lot more later, because it's not the kind of thing you can cram into an introduction episode, but, you know, the idea of consent being non-withdrawable...
Let's leave that part of that movie there, because that whole movie's just... is just wrong from beginning to end for so many reasons. There's no right way of doing things, but there's certainly a lot of wrong in that movie. But there was a film called The Secretary.
Heard of that.
And that, I was already quite a cheeky chappy. I was already sort of exploring kink a bit when I saw that, but that really sort of fired something in me. But prior to that, because I'm of a generation of the 90s, you know, when I was growing up being a teenager in the 90s and stuff, I had like Eurotrash as the first.
Oh, right.
Because, come on, man, it was like the mid 90s, you know.
There was not much else.
What was on the internet in the mid 90s?
Teletext.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? I had teletext, do you know what I'm saying? You know, this was the mid 90s, so growing up, we didn't have access to things like that. We couldn't explore through your Tinder or your. Name something else that kids, youngsters are into, but I don't know about yet.
Pokemon Go.
TikTok.
to your TikTok. We didn't have you.
Pokemon Go.
We didn't have your TikTok or Pokemon Go.
I was trying to just make sure it was a bit cleaner, you know, trying to raise the
respectability. This is absolutely an 18 plus podcast.
There was no Instagram or, you know,
Pokemon Go
or MySpace.
Oh my God, that's...
What?
That's incredibly old.
What do you mean that's incredibly
MySpace?
Old?
MySpace?
For our younger viewers, MySpace was essentially Facebook before Facebook.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay, but yeah. Look, never mind. But what I'm saying is there was none of that. So it was Eurotrash or nothing, you know? It was Eurotrash or nothing.
Before even Channel 5 existed.
Yeah, you know. Channel 4, 1 o'clock in the morning, Eurotrash.
Great.
You know, two gay French dudes taught me about BDSM.
Wow. Great. Well, that's your story.
Wasn't there a nun involved as well?
There was a nun involved. Yeah, she was a feature. But what I'm saying is we've got friends in the scene who are older than me. You know, I'm not that old at all. And they obviously found it through different mediums and different channels.
I can't even imagine. I think the oldest person I have met who is active in the scene is in her 70s.
Yeah. Yeah, I've met people around the same age. Yeah. I've been around, yeah. And it's crazy, because how the hell could you find out about these things beforehand? You know, social media was probably, is the biggest gateway to anything?
For sure, because you don't need to take a risk.
Yeah.
You don't need to go up to your friend who you think may have some kind of
kinkling, you see?
you don't have to go up to your friend who you think, you suspect may have some kind of kinky inclinations. Like, that would be such a huge risk.
Yeah.
You know, imagine having to take that chance.
I wouldn't do that with any of my friends.
No, exactly.
What I've always done before I only dated sort of exclusively within kink circles, because I don't date from outside the kink circles and haven't done for a number of years. Because it's not fair on anybody from outside the kink circle getting into a relationship with me and then going, hey, by the way, you know, that's not who I am. So I make sure people are aware of what I'm all about before.
Right.
You know, but prior to that, you know, I would be in relationships and then maybe it would sort of kind of go that way.
And then
bits, you know, we'd incorporate bits into it, but it would be very sort of shh, hush, hush.
Yeah.
Not like we're on a secret mission.
On the sly.
Not like we're on a secret mission, but not something you would maybe discuss with friends, like I'm talking to you two now.
Right.
You know.
But I'm sure, you know, these communities have always existed. They were always there. I just think it must have been a lot harder to find them.
I'm certainly noticing more people sort of coming and going, both online and in real life, you know what I mean? Like people turning up, like they're dipping their toes.
Yeah.
Burns, you notice any toe dippers?
I have seen a fair few new people, you know. I mean, where we are is a university town, so obviously you'll get sort of seasonal people, like with the university terms, and you know, you might get new people in the area and that. So we have had quite a few new people, and as I've been to other munchies, not in the local area, I've found as well, you do get people who seem to have been on the scene a while, but you do sometimes get people who are just coming, or maybe they've been on the scene for a while, but they're meeting new people, you know, being a bit less private about it than they used to be, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, that must be interesting in its own way, really, you know, getting to munches and meetups in different areas.
I've been to a few where I've travelled for work and that, and I, you know, it's weird, there's differences when you go to different areas, parts of the country, but there's also common themes. One of the most common overriding themes by far the most is cake.
Yes. You know,
it's always cake.
And what a wonderful theme.
Yeah, well, I mean, why not? I mean, it's lovely. But there's, thing is, people come at kink from all different angles. Not everybody's about getting out and being social. There's people who discover kink within their own right and within what they want from it.
Yeah.
And what they want from a relationship, but they might never go to an event or a munch.
Because they won't necessarily feel the need for that, will they?
No. You know, not everything needs a mentor, not everything is a skill that needs to be learned. You know, a relationship, an adult relationship within the boundaries that you want isn't something you have to have friends that do similar things to be able to conduct successfully.
Mm.
It just means that you're a compatible partner.
Yeah, that's That's very
we've no
true.
Need, we've no need for the internet, or to look at how other people are doing things.
Yeah, well, there's very much a sort of sliding scale to these kind of things as well. You know, from like you say, people who don't get involved with the social side of it, or the community side of it. There's people who will always be at the community events, but you never see them play.
Yeah, true that.
Because they only do that privately.
Yeah.
And then there's people who, you know, are at every possible thing they could go to.
I know what grinds your gears, Burns. It's people that don't go to events but also whinge and moan.
Aye, but that's it. I mean, if, as we've said, there's a number of reasons why people wouldn't go to things socially, and that's not necessarily a red flag or anything. But it's when people complain that they can't meet people for play or whatever, but they're unwilling to go to a munch and talk to people first.
Yeah,
you know, and
sometimes very quickly you find out who you might be compatible with, but you can't be that surprised if not everyone's going to want to, straight off the bat, you know.
Aye.
That is a huge theme within kink, as well as trust.
Absolutely.
It is so important to establish trust. You know, it's...
And what going out to a public event is like potentially one way of doing that.
Yeah.
Or at least... an avenue to start doing that, building that trust.
Because what we do is, you know, it is high stakes in terms of, you know, not in terms of danger necessarily, but...
No, not everything has to be. No.
But it's a lifestyle as well, and there are some people who, you know, there are some people who live it openly, and there are some people who absolutely could not.
On a scale of 1 to 10, the pair of you, where 1 being completely... closed off from the rest of your life and 10 being very open, where would you say each of you land on that scale?
I don't know, I guess
10 being your parents know about your lifestyle.
Yeah,
9 being most of your friends do.
Oh, well, I'd say a good few of my friends do, but not in, like, I think they're sort of, it's more like they're vaguely aware.
Yeah.
You know, they've not had the details, but oh, by the way, I'll go out and I'll do exactly that, because like,
they
don't
want
to know. It's not like you'd do that if you're in a vanilla relationship.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Oh, last night I had a shag, right? And I did this, and I, like, no one cares to know that.
And when you see the people do, it's annoying.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
But yeah, so you would say you're sort of about mid range of sort of how open you are, Burns.
Aye, I pick my allies carefully, as it were.
Fair play.
I want to try to, anyway.
You want to spend more time picking your opponents when you're playing backgammon, if I keep up in my game,
aye,
right?
Aye. I had a couple of good games at the Games Munch, though. That was good.
See, this is...
Two of us sat playing a game of backgammon, and there are a few people just watching. It was like being in a dungeon, it was odd. Just people stoning there.
Only you could compare a game of backgammon to being in a dungeon.
Well, we had to get back round to the kink, didn't we? So
yeah. I'm going to a dungeon event tomorrow night.
Alright. Really?
Yeah, I'm going to a dungeon event tomorrow night. I'm taking my lady.
Is this...
This is the event you're thinking of. Yeah, it is indeed. But it should be fun. It's a good shame. It's a shame that you're not there.
Yeah. For once.
Yes, so our paths won't be crossing tomorrow night.
I shall be sorely missed.
Who sorely? Taking a beating from someone else?
Well, I'm going to be a lot less sore for it.
The sliding scale of events, you've got the munches, the social side of things.
Where
have you been to?
I have been to a combination of peer events and dungeon events.
Okay, what sort of peer events? What sort of skills you've been learning?
Peer rope so far. I would probably put a peer event between Dungeon and Munch.
Yeah.
It's a halfway point because it's a casual setting.
Yeah.
And you know,
it's non-sexually challenged.
Yeah, it's a non-sexual casual setting.
Yeah.
The thing I tend to compare it to is sport.
Yeah,
basically.
I totally see that.
Yeah, yeah, with something like rope, people, you know, people are showing up in yoga pants, basically.
Yeah.
You know, if you saw people coming in and out, you'd just assume it was some kind of fitness class.
You said it was like sport. I've just got this image of the Kink Olympics.
Oh.
So what? We've got rope tying, dildo tossing, butt plug shot put.
The message they send you on Fet Life to apply.
Right, the sliding scale.
The sliding scale, oh yeah.
Peer events, yeah. So those, for people who have not been to anything like that, yeah, I would call it a sort of middle ground between a dungeon event and a munch. Sometimes there's a class, sometimes it's sort of free play, as it were. But yeah, it's never gonna get dirty.
Yeah, no.
At a peer event.
What about yourself, Burns?
Been to a few play events.
Oh, you get a bit more than me.
Nice. Well, this is over the course of a while, you know. It wasn't like a weekend.
A really busy week.
Yeah.
No, one of the people who runs one of the munches I attend did have with the partner they were with at the time, a thing that they were setting up, like events they were doing themselves.
I know these events. This took place at a club inside near London. Popular events, man. It's a shame they've ended before I got a chance to attend one.
Aye. And but a few people then started going to that particular venue just occasionally, so that like people would have a chance to go down with people. And
when you say go down with people, you mean travel to the
event? I mean travel to the event with.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that for anyone listening.
Yeah. I think that's go down on.
I mean, imagine that, a pervert on a BDSM podcast.
I would not have it.
Pervert.
No. Mm-mm. I'll sit in my corner. How sort of, you know, 24/7 are you?
How 24/7?
Yeah, sort of. So
oh
10,
my god.
10 being, I find like a whip in your bag.
24/7. I...
10 being your mum's picking you up from the dungeon.
Since Burns has already answered that question,
yeah.
I actually thought quite interesting was your accidental question of how 24/7, which is also a sliding scale.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was 24 hours, 7 days a week, so you could actually be like... You could actually be like 17/5, like 17 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Yeah, the shifts are very negotiable.
What do you think about that? Do you think that's a practical? You think you could say you could be like 17/5? 17 hours a day, 5 days a week?
That's what I am.
That's powerful. No,
I did the maths on that.
That is a good sliding scale, though, of a question, because... You know, within these circles, there are people who do this constantly, like you say, 24/7.
But they're not spanking each other constantly. They're going out to work and stuff,
and grabbing
the kids from school and all
they
that.
They are having it's that they are engaging in their dynamic.
Yeah.
Constantly. Yeah. Whereas, you know, for some people, they have their one monthly event, and you know, they rock up.
Yeah.
Go wild, and then straight back to vanilla self for the next month.
that would be horrendous. I wouldn't want that.
But yeah, for me, I would say within the events that I go to, I love what I do there.
Yeah.
I love what I do there, and I...
You certainly look like you enjoy it.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly throw myself into it. But if anybody, like, tried it on with me... outside of a kink space, you know, who I was not already in some kind of disgust dynamic with. Oh my god. Like,
hell.
I am... Hmm.
Hell and fire.
Yeah, hell and fire, because I say this, I think I am evolving in a kinky context to be more flexible, actually, but, you know, I think until recently I considered myself exclusively a bottom, and I am the opposite of that in life, day-to-day life. If someone tried to kind of, you know, do anything to try and boss me around outside of that, it'd get messy.
That's the key word, is like evolve, you said.
Yeah.
Evolve, as you know, because I find that I've changed. You say you've, Burns, you've changed. And
let's see, have I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the huge things about kink, is that you, a lot of the time, for a lot of people, you come in with something in mind. So I very much came in with rope in mind.
Okay.
You know, that was the thing I knew I wanted to do.
As a bottom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. And I'd say I'm still exclusively a rope bottom,
yeah.
Because if I tied someone else, I would get jealous. I love rope bottoming.
I love impact.
So much.
Like, I love impact. I'm an impact often.
Well, yeah, a lot of people have, like, their thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that is what they came in thinking about. But, you know, I have done all sorts of play that I never thought I would be interested in. There's a lot of things I've tried and a lot of things I've enjoyed, which I wouldn't have thought to try before coming onto the scene.
Burns, you sometimes describe yourself as a sensualist.
Sensualist.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I do like sensation stuff, partly because I've not got the hugest pain threshold, so like some impact and stuff like that, pardon me, can be nice, but it's not like my main thing, so I wouldn't want to be like, oh, this is me, this is what I do.
Mm.
But I think that in itself is a huge misconception. The idea that it's all about hitting people and doing it as hard as you can.
Oh,
of
course.
No, it isn't.
That's, yeah, by all accounts, that is not what
it's
the scene is
about.
It's about
messing with heads. Impact is.
Yeah.
Impact
for
me.
You, well, exactly, there's
impact
two sides.
And the build-up.
Yeah. It's about building a scene. It's about
a
whole journey.
Yeah.
It's impact for me is a journey.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing. It is not just, you know, people might think it's just about getting hit. It is not about getting hit or hitting. It is about, like you say, the journey you create around that. But also, the idea that people might come in with that's, it's about pain.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when actually there's plenty of people who would enjoy certain aspects of kink, but would not want to get hurt at all.
Pain-related stuff is just a very minute...
Purely optional.
Yeah, it's a minute little area.
But I think the outside perception has a lot of people thinking that
spanking,
is what
yeah.
it's all about.
Spanking,
right.
hand on the throat, spanking
yeah,
the
yeah.
bum, in cuffs,
because people
flying around in a helicopter. That's what it's all about.
Wow.
People naturally think the extreme, though, don't they? Because it's easy to visualise.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't imagine a normal couple, which the most kink couples really are in the room for the most part.
But it's like, you say like, kink to most people think pervert, right?
Mm.
They think pervert. They don't go, oh, a few people sitting around having a chat, maybe very occasionally mentioning these things that they end up doing with a partner, or, you know, picking up tips on how to do it better or whatever.
Safer.
They just think it's just someone in the corner getting a cucumber shoved up their arse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's
So each month, because we're gonna attempt to put one of these ensembles together a month, ramshackle our way through this debacle.
It's a lot of long words. Do you want to sit down?
I'm already sitting down, luckily, because I don't think I'd be able to stand up and say all that. But each month we're going to hit on another topic. So, Burns, what sort of topics do you think we should be hitting up, mate?
Consent, for one.
Mm-hmm.
Very important.
Yeah?
Very important.
We'll give a whole show to that.
You might say the most important.
You might, and I think you'd probably be correct to do so.
We'll probably do a whole show on that. Anything else?
Yeah.
What we're gonna have? Can we do a whole episode on consent? That's episode three or four or something.
I thought it'd be great to talk about labels and identities.
Oh God, yes.
And how those fit into the community.
Yeah, because there's a lot, isn't there?
There's an awful lot, and
for a community that doesn't like to be labeled.
Yeah.
We do like our labels.
But yeah, but that's the thing. Sort of labels for one person are liberating, and for another person are terribly constructive.
Yeah, so
yeah.
We'll talk about that
and the intersections between labels in the queer community. I think there is, you know, there's some crossover there, and obviously you want to watch, you know, certain things might be okay in some context and not others.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot to talk about there.
Oh, okay, and then we're going to have things like munches. We've spoken about that briefly tonight, but I think we should...
social.
Yeah, so. Yeah, definitely, man. And events and workshops. I've been to a few workshops in my time, and I'm an opinionated so-and-so, so we'll talk about workshops and stuff like that as well. A few little special ideas we had as well. We're going to throw a few ideas in there, a few special segments, anyone?
Yes.
What are you going to do? What you got for us?
Oh, yes. So, I have... I was thinking we could have a message of the week.
You do realise we're only doing one of these shows a month, right?
Yes, but this is week spelled W-E-A-K.
Message.
The message of the week.
And what's that going to be?
It's going to be, so, one of the more frowned upon practices in this community. I say in this community.
Generally in life.
Generally in life, but I think... It douchey, has the douchey capacity.
Messages.
Douchey messages, cold messages, dick pics, all that. But I do think it has the capacity to be so much funnier when the things we're already doing are so outlandish.
Okay.
The things people cold message you with.
Okay.
The things people open with and think, this is for sure a great way to start this conversation.
I tell you what, Lady Electra, I for one can't wait to see the contents of your box.
That was a cheap shot.
It was.
That was a very cheap shot.
And I took it.
You did.
And Burns, what are you going to have for us?
That was the cheapest money shot I've ever seen.
And what are you going to have?
I feel robbed. I feel cheapened by it.
I'm sure the audience feels a lot. I'm glad you do.
I hope you feel grubby. Now, what have you got for us, Burns?
So, Jocko Naughty.
A Jocko what now?
Mind Jack and Ori.
Yeah.
The story programme a few years ago. Well, a Scottish kinky twist on it. One of my guilty pleasures, I'll say guilty, not very guilty pleasure really, but one of the things I like is reading trashy erotica online. So, I'm not saying bad, you know, but one of the ones I did read had a line, "My cock was getting frisky." So...
I look forward to that.
Bits like that and associated gems.
I look forward to your Jocko Naughty. Absolutely terrified at the thought. And also, as well as that, I think we're going to occasionally do the show me, tell me, because I really would like to see what you kinky fuckers bring in with you. So I'd like to see some surprise items brought in and we can do a show and tell.
Great. Mine's going to be kink on a dime.
It's your kink on a dime.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay, because kink doesn't have to cost money. Kink.
Well, does that mean kink on a dime, where you've
kink
got to turn
on a dime.
Kink
no,
on
where you,
so,
where you
it's
have
a very,
to...
very, very clever bum joke.
It is. Oh, dear Lord. So that's about the size of it, then. So thank you for listening, and if you tune back in, what you've got to look forward to is a weird mix of serious conversations about consent, munches... as well as a Scottish man or a faux Scottish man telling you dirty stories of the bazaar.
Oh my God, you outed him.
I did out him. Oh yeah.
We can cut it, who knows. Or leave it in, it might be funnier.
I don't know.
Do you know that we're all phonies?
We're all phonies. Mm. Well, that's going to be another show as well, because there's so many phonies in the world, and if there's a lot of people masquerading as something else in the general world, you can bet there is in the kink community.
Wow.
So
that's deep.
That is deep. That's about as deep as you're
going
to get from me this evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We're going to have to warm you up a little more.
You are indeed. So.
Here's my cheap
if
shot.
If you want to give your final thoughts and goodbyes.
Final thoughts? Remember to vote.
It's a bit late for that.
Yeah, but they could be listening to this at any point.
Okay, yeah, no, that's a good point. Final thoughts, Burns? Give us your Jerry Springer.
As often as possible, wear nothing, but always wear a smile.
That's beautiful.
That was so uplifting.
I'm just going to end it there because I don't think I can top that.
You can't top it.
Ladies
you said
gentlemen.
You could top anything.
I can't top that. Those beautiful words from Burns. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to having you again.
Soon.
Or later.
See you next month.